Hey, welcome to D12 Go, a podcast in which we play different one-shots each session using the D12 Go tabletop role-playing game. If you've played before, then you'll know what the game's all about, but if you haven't, don't worry, the rules are super simple and you'll be able to follow along with us easily. I'm not going to edit that. The whole driving idea behind D12 Go is that it's loose and fluid enough that you can just pick up a D12 and go. I'm Brad, and I will be the GM for today's session. We are going to be playing a completely improvised one-shot that we'll roll up from some random... From some random tables shortly. We'll split the session up into two episodes. The first will be character creation and a bit of story foundation, and the second will be playing the game. It's time now to introduce two friends of mine who will be playing today. So Severin and Kasia, please introduce yourselves, and we will get into rolling up a random story.
What if we introduce each other? Let's really throw a spanner in the works.
Oh yeah, let's do this.
Joining the podcast is Kasia, fun, good person, with a huge D12 in her hands right now. And that is everything you need to know about it.
What mic are you using right now, Severin? Is it the Rode?
It's a classic Rode.
Because I don't think that's actually what you're using.
Oh, am I? Oh, heck. So we're starting off with technical difficulties.
And you know what? No edit.
The best way to go.
For those viewing, there's a very prominently visible, very professional looking mic in front of Severin.
Yes.
But he is using laptop's mic.
Only decoration.
Just a facade.
I'm pretty sure it's like mic to USB audio. So if I move closer to it like this, does this?
That changed it.
That changed it? Okay. So that might... I swear it is going through this thing somehow, through the power of the internet. And so if I do like technical sound jargon, like I'll just tweak the levels, I'll increase the gain, then that'll hopefully...
Are you hacking into the mainframe?
I feel like this is also a really good introduction for just how my life goes. I feel like this is all... Whoever's listening to this at the moment, this is all you need to know. Is I'm in a constant state of anxiety and things vaguely working. And I'm happy to be here.
Oh, so I was supposed to say all that, but... Severin is a dude who just, you go to a place and there's Severin, and then you rent a house and Severin's there to, you know, spruce it up with his wit. I don't know what I'm saying. Okay, I met Severin like 4 times. I'm going on very little information here. But he seems nice.
He's a human man.
Yeah, he has hair.
And a face.
I saw him with a girl once, but I don't know what that means. Yeah. There are ears. There's ears.
There's ears.
Eyes very between funny, them. Though. Eyes between the ears.
Yes.
Never heard it described like that.
We're both new cast members in the Fate of Aizen podcast, which, Brad, you'll be vaguely familiar with.
I've heard of it.
And so I've seen... Cash and I have seen each other digitally more than in person, which I feel like is
correct.
A fun post-COVID kind of way of living.
That's how everyone knows everyone now.
That's true. Who even sees people anymore? Ugh.
In person is so passé.
Yeah, I was so against doing this tonight, but then I decided, might as well. I'm already in the house. So.
Oh, good to have you here. I'm glad the only reason you're here is because you were already sitting down.
I'm super excited.
You didn't leave the house to not be here.
But do you want us to for real introduce ourselves? Because we can do that.
Was sufficient. That's fine. That's absolutely fine.
Whatever way we got there.
Cool. So what we're going to do now is we'll roll up the story using random tables in the rulebook. So one of you please roll me a d12 to determine the main threat that we're going to encounter in our story.
Do you want to roll one of the big ones for the threat? Oh, she's thrown in the air. I don't know if y'all could hear the thud.
It's six.
Six?
Six. Okay, we're dealing with super villains.
The first one is my mic.
Super villain.
Cool. So the next D12 roll is to determine an important location. Now, this could be where the whole story is set, or it could just be something that factors into it somehow. But yeah, it'll definitely be involved in the story.
Okay. You want to roll for location? Go for it.
One.
Oh, okay. Location this one. Is, you know what? I'll get us to re-roll this one because Dusty just ran a game using this one. So we'll re-roll that so we don't do the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Just
the one
time. Okay.
There we go.
Oh, it bounces. Four.
Four is an underground complex. Good place for supervillains to be.
That's where you'd find a villain.
Underground complex?
Like
great.
Alfred in Batman.
Cool. So using those two, so there's more to do as well, but using those two, that sort of gives us a little bit of an idea of the setting. What are you thinking for... like time frame, like era, level of technology, things like that. Is this modern day? Is this maybe supervillains in the 70s or in the future? Like what are you thinking for setting wise based on those two?
Ooh, I would say Stone Age, but that's a bit hard. What are you thinking, Severin? I'm very traditional.
A very villainous caveman. I was thinking almost kind of Victorian era. Like, if you know the serial killer H.H. Holmes, I think was like a very underground kind of villain with this weird murder hotel, which is like a whole complex of how he kind of killed people and they went down a chute and they burned them. Absolutely
That's
fascinating story.
Okay.
No, that was more Barbary.
Wait, H.H. Holmes. Okay, I'm game.
Victorian era. Okay, just going to let... I mean, I'll fully accept that, but I will also put cards on the table. I know nothing about the Victorian era.
Oh, neither.
so this is going to be historically bad. But that's fine. Yeah, so we've got supervillains in an underground complex in the Victorian era. The next role is for your party dynamic. So this is what's going on between the two of you as a group of... I don't know, heroes? Question mark?
People that have stumbled into a thing.
I'll just explain Victorian era. Just steampunk, but without the steam. That's
so just
probably
punk.
What
the right level of punk.
Yeah.
Okay. D12 roll, it's a two.
A two? You are old friends.
Aww.
Aww.
But what are we playing in the game?
No, you just announced that you've only met like a couple times.
It is factually incorrect, that is true.
Yeah, but our souls know each other.
Exactly. If you go back far enough.
We've got we've got the situation and we've got who you are to each other. So using that information, let's start building some characters. So I guess we'll choose what level of character you can be. So D12 Go has 5 character levels, from 1 to 5, 1 being very like closer to realism, so best suited to like horror or keeping things really difficult, like scarcity of resources, things like that, very low health, very low abilities, and conversely 5 is like crazy top of the scale, level 20 D&D, you're a superhero kind of thing. So, level 2's kind of a good beginning adventurer type of level. Level 3 is like an experienced adventurer, and level 4 is when you kind of start to get a little bit too silly, overpowered, and yeah, like I said, 5 is ridiculous.
Yeah, so GTA cheat codes.
Yeah, what are you thinking for your old friends in the Victorian era who are somehow involved with these supervillains?
I'm thinking 3, actually.
I was thinking 3 as well.
Oh, awesome.
Because okay. If we're old
3,
friends,
so
you are
capable
together.
You're capable already, you've got some experience under your belt, you're not completely out of your depth. Cool. In that case, what a level 3 character gets is you've got 5 points to spend on your stats. So you can, I'll tell you the 6 stats that you can write down on your paper and then assign some numbers to. They are agility, bond, brains, brawn, precision, and senses.
Ah. Okay, and so we have 5 points to allocate between 6 categories.
Yeah, you can use pluses and minuses, so you could have something in a -3, gives you more to spend elsewhere, and things like that.
Oh!
So So you can be as good or as bad at those things as you want, as long as the total adds up to 5.
I see. And can we converse, or is this a...
No, like you can absolutely work together to create this character that you're building. And also, the other thing is you've got 11 specialty points. So specialties, they are anything at all that you want. You can come up with them yourself. Based on the type of character you are, then maybe you're an excellent marksman, so you want to give yourself some points in marksmanship, or maybe you're good at parkour, maybe you've got an affinity with animals, or anything like that, and you've got 11 points to spend on whatever you can imagine.
Good at tacos. Mm. Well,
okay, you can give yourself a specialty of good at tacos.
I don't know if that's the Victorian era.
Or using.
Yeah, as a projectile. You get some salsa in their eye, game over.
Cool. So we have 5 points, and we can like put one in 5 of these, or like all of them in bond, right? Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could load up one stat and then just leave the rest.
I typically advise that you don't go higher than +4 in any given stat, just because it really breaks the game big time if you go way too high. I played this with Josh Kingsford from Fate of Ice in book 1, and he created... Oh, no, it was with Trestlespoon. He translated Trestlespoon from D&D into this, and he gave him, like, minus a lot in brawn and, like, +9 in, like, agility or something. It was just, like, he succeeded at every single thing to do with agility, but failed miserably as soon as brawn was involved, no matter how he rolled. It was kind
tried
of...
To,
it was, yeah, it broke the game.
Big tried time, to open a door and he can't.
Yeah.
So, I'm having a bit of a foreign moment, and I can't figure out what a bond actually is.
Oh, sorry. Bond is your ability to interact with other living creatures. So it's like
charisma.
It's like charisma, but also like animal handling. And mm-hmm. anytime that, yeah, your actions, you're trying to influence or affect other living creatures, then that's likely to be bond. And healing is bond as well, if healing comes up.
So we're putting -5 there.
You are very unlikable. If you have to roll bond for anything, you're going to fail.
Well, yeah. That's the thing.
I mean, do we want... not -5, but...
Kasia, do you want to have one very smart character and one very dumb and strong character? Is that going to be a good balance through this?
Wait, dumb, strong, and pretty, right? Like, do you want to be dumb, strong, and pretty? Like, yeah. Or do you want to be smart and ugly? Because I will...
Well, yeah. Do I go Jersey Shore or Big Bang Theory? The two moods.
I'm into this. There's what's his name? Rick or Nick? The guy who they were laughing at? Anyway, I'm happy to be the unlikable smart one, but...
You want to be unlikable smart? Okay.
So I'll do -3 in bond, and then I have like 8 to put everywhere else.
Have you thought about, like, who you are? So, you've to each other, you're old friends, but, like, why are you involved in this underground complex? Like, what purpose do you have for being there? And how did you get your experience? You're level 3 already. Like, what's your life been so far?
Are we turtles?
Are you just thinking...
Like Ninja Turtles?
Because we're underground heroes in a half shell.
You can be Ninja Turtles if you want. You can be anything. You could be... And I played this game, and one character was an anthropomorphic... cob of corn with necromancy powers.
This is amazing.
And do another player in that same game was 3 frogs in a trench coat.
Oh god, I love this. I did not realize this.
I think,
much
yeah, you could be anything. I should have clarified. You don't have to be human. You don't have to fit into the Victorian era. Just be literally anything you want.
See, like as a child, I really wanted to be a... what's it called? A Medusa?
Ooh.
Like, sorry, an octopus. So basically...
Very different.
The premise was that, you know, we were into Harry Potter and they were like animages and they were changing into these like cool animals. But my friend was changing into an octopus. So if she changed, then she dried up on the doorstep and it was a bit of a problem. But she dedicated her life to becoming an shapeshifter who changes into an octopus.
Into it's a cephalopod.
Cephalopod. I don't know. Medusa in Polish is the word for octopus, so... Wait, are we turtles?
Ah, that's very interesting. Are we turtles?
Or are we Dancer?
I think we've got to be... Yeah, anthropomorphic turtles.
Okay. Anthropomorphic turtles.
I feel like that's a good direction.
Okay, yeah. Well, you can let that guide your stats and your specialties as well. Like, that could factor it.
Ooh. Yeah, how agile is a turtle?
Well, if you're one of the Ninja Turtles, very agile. You're
a
ninja.
Well, that's true.
If you're just a turtle turtle.
Just a regular ass turtle.
I'd say, like, we're at least plus two on agility if we're ninjas.
Yeah, so I have a tendency just to balance my characters because I do not like failure. So I've gone plus two agility, plus one bond, minus two brains, plus two brawn, plus one precision, plus one senses. So I feel like I'll be kind of good at a few things that doesn't involve thinking at all.
Right. I have plus two agility because we probably grew up together and we have the same level of fitness. Minus three bond because...
We're the same old rat as a teacher.
Yes, we did. And I have minus three bond because I'm extremely ugly and covered in, like, you know, growths on my shell. And then, like, my face is all, like, screwed up because I ran headfirst into a pipe as a child. And it's horrible. Plus two brains. I can't count. I have plus two senses as well because... I would, like, hide and listen, because no one likes me. So that's, like, six minus three. I have three to spare. Two brawn, one precision. I think we're good.
Okay, so you add up to five?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, including negatives.
Yep.
Negatives, yeah. It's just the ugliness.
It's just the ugliness.
It's the ugliness and the unlikability.
Sweet. So the and have you thought of names?
Oh, Versace.
What are other Renaissance painters? Versace's good.
And you can be Gucci.
I'm gonna be Prosecco.
Prosecco and Versace. Okay.
Because I feel like I'm a very bubbly kind of person.
Turtle.
And I've been murdered. That's
cool.
A reference no one gets, but cool.
So, no, we know Versace was murdered. So
the specialties. What do we?
Yeah, specialties are anything at all you think that you'd be like extra good at, something more specific to your character than the six main stats. So every time you roll a d12, you add the most appropriate stat for what you're trying to do. But if you have a specialty that is applicable, you add that as well. And yeah, like I said before, it could be literally anything you could think of. It could be weather magic. It could be like hard shell could be a good thing. So if you're fighting, for example, and you want to use that as part of your defense, that you've got a hard shell, things like that. If you're going typical Ninja Turtle styles, it could be like using a bow staff, like Donatello or whatever.
So we have magic of our choosing, basically, if we want to.
They don't have to be magical at all. It could be convincing people. It could be cheering people up. I had one person who gave themselves a specialty of waving.
Well, I wanted to give myself a specialty in millinery, because I think in the Victorian period, hat making is important in some ways. So I want that.
Okay, write it down and assign some points. You've got 11 to spend across however many specialties you want. I'd advise using like plus twos and plus threes.
I guess like outwitting people, I don't know if that's a...
Yeah, if you'd like money. Outwitting, outsmarting, that could be applicable to quite a few situations.
Okay. Even if I can't physically think of the way to outwit them.
First one I'm writing down. Because I imagine my guy used to be in the circus as a kind of like freak, P.T. Barnum kind of thing. I've written down animal combat.
Come see Prosecco, line up everybody, Prosecco!
Come one, come all, the amazing turtle boy! So I've written down animal conversation plus two. So just talking to any kind of animal. They don't have to talk back, but he's just good at talking to animals in general.
I would think we were both in the circus, but you were pretty, and I was like in the back preparing your costumes and stuff.
Oh.
Which is the hat making skill that I had to develop.
Which is how you're old friends as well. You were in the circus together, you endured the same hardships.
Exactly. By the evil circus master rat Gucci.
The evil circus ringleader, his name is now Master Rat, and he is the head supervillain.
Oh.
And you're in this underground complex to destroy him. You've found his lair.
Okay.
We have a story.
Yeah, we do. I mean, hard shell, I think we both have a hard shell, and that's a good suggestion. I suggest we take it.
Yeah, really, like, vague, or not vague, really versatile one to have that works in almost every game is quick reflexes. That's often applicable. Hiding, sneaking, or you could group those together into stealth.
Okay, how many are you putting into hard shell?
Six. Two?
One of you could have a harder shell than the other.
I think I'd have a harder shell. I think I'm going three into hard shell.
You're a tank, aren't you?
Maybe I should bump my drawn up.
Okay, so did you say healing would be in bond?
Yeah, healing's bond. Anytime you are trying to heal someone, that's you trying to affect another living creature. That's a bond roll.
Because I can't settle on one, I've just written down shell maneuver. So this is either rolling with my shell, spinning on it out of the way of something, springing off it. Or would you want me to be more specific with what I'm using? Okay.
Vague is fine. Vague is just fine.
Any kind of shell movement, which I feel like is what I'd do in the circus. That was my show, is I'd like go into my shell and then spring off my shell. And then people are like, look at that guy go with his shell related antics.
Oh, okay. So I just thought of trickery, but I have outwitting, which is the same thing.
Okay.
Yep. Ooh. Improvised weapons. I'm proficient in those. Maybe.
Okay, there
weapons.
We go.
There you go. Okay, I think I spent all of mine. I have millinery because it's stupid and I love stuff that's stupid. Hard shell, outwitting, quick reflexes, and improvised weapons.
Nice.
You could do like being nice to people, getting your points. I don't know, something like charm. But like actually like flirtation or whatever, because you're so attractive.
I'm just gonna write down schmooze, because I think that's what my character would do. I'm gonna add a plus two to that. Just being very sycophantic. And then spent my last 2 points. So I've got animal conversation, hard shell maneuver, schmooze, and unflinching. Because I feel like my guy would just run straight into things.
Okay, so that's kind of like a boldness, a blind bravery.
Basically.
Sweet. Okay, well, it sounds like we've got some characters. Versace and Prosecco, the Victoria-era Ninja Turtles, for lack of a better term.
Turtle crime-fighting duo.
Versace being the one with the ugly growths, and Prosecco was the quote-unquote prettier one who got used as a freak in a circus. So, yay.
I feel like instead of Ninja Turtles in the Victorian era, it would be some racist term.
It could just be gentleman tortoise.
Gentleman tortoises. Yes. Or, sorry, pugilist tortoises.
Ooh.
Okay.
Torpugilist?
Combat reptiles.
Combat.
No, that's the futuristic turtles. All right, that's us.
Cool. Just
two turtles.
Cool. So, yep, we, as a quick recap, we are dealing with a story about supervillains in an underground complex, and the two of you are old friends. So, we're going to be playing at level 3. We've just created the characters for that, and that is it for the character creation. We're going to take a quick break and we'll jump back into playing the game afterwards.
See you soon.